Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on a Food Friday, December 1st. I'm Ray Graff. While the holiday season is upon us, many of you may be receiving or giving gift baskets this time of year, so we've asked celebrity chef Rick Orlando to whip up some unique recipes using some of the items in those baskets. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. I can be honest and say I've neither given nor ever received a gift basket, so all of this is very new to me, and there are some things here that, frankly, I don't know what they are. But you know what? Rick does, and he'll be here to take your calls. 800-348-2551 is the number. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Always fun when Rick Orlando is here. We'll kick off a Food Friday after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Food Friday. You know, it's a Friday, so here we are. It's that time of year when lights and tinsel adorn homes, Christmas music is on your radio, people are wrapping one of the most traditional of holiday presents, the food gift basket. So we've asked one of our favorites, Chef Rick Orlando, to conjure up some unique recipes using those holiday gift basket items. Rick is the chef owner of New World Home Cooking Company in Saugerties, New York, and chef manager of New World Bistro Bar in Albany, along with eating at his restaurants. You may have seen him on the Food Network's Chopped program, his PBS show, Rick Orlando's TV Kitchen, or have read his book, We Want Clean Food. Rick Orlando, always great to have you here. Welcome back.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm okay. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number, if you want to talk to the famous Chef Rick Orlando, it's 800-348-2551. How's the holiday season treating you?
The holiday season is a handful. It's a happy handful. It's good.
Always a lot of work for people in your business.
Well, we're very lucky that we get to share the holidays with so many hundreds of people.
Is it tough to stay festive, though, when it's a grind sometimes?
You know, maybe I'm just a crazy person.
Well, we know that.
I like it. Makes me more festive.
Really?
It does. I mean, I find like if I... maybe once or twice in the last 25 years, like I didn't work on New Year's Eve, for instance. And I was like, it was a boring night. Working, you're together, there's camaraderie, there's customers, there's interaction, there's love, there's thanks, there's work, there's sweat, but it's fun. It is fun to be a part of it.
New Year's Eve must be a tougher one, though, because things could get ugly depending on the mood and the alcohol intake of some of the patrons. It could be difficult.
Patrons, yeah.
Oh, what do you mean? And staff. Oh, I understand.
No, but New Year's Eve is fun. I mean, they're events, you know. Being in the hospitality business, you keep that word hospitality. You say, you know, like, for instance, in Saugerties, we do a Thanksgiving buffet, and we fed almost 500 people.
500 people?
Yeah, so 480-something.
Nonstop from beginning to end.
It's basically 40 people a half an hour for, like, you know, 7 hours or 6.5 hours, whatever.
What did you have in the buffet?
Well, we have... beautiful turkeys. We have fish. We had salmon with the pumpkin seed sauce. We try to do traditional stuff. We had a braised beef, kind of in the Yankee pot roast thing.
Yeah, I love that.
We have vegan. We have seitan roast and lots of vegetables. Parsnips and butternut squash and acorn squash and Swiss chard. I work with Sunfrost Farms over in Sunfrost. They had a lot of local stuff. And we did some New England traditional stuff. Plymouth Rock fish chowder. Mm. Portuguese fisherman's mussels. It's a nice buffet.
Oh, that's,
you know?
Nice.
Yeah, pies and puddings and blah, blah, blah. But it's just nice. So many people say, I love your place on Thanksgiving, which means that I'm getting a little bit of that karmic rub off.
Well, that's good. And, of course, you love the ambiance, and so I'm sure you had the music right and everything was...
Yeah, well, I'm out of there. I go in at 4:30 in the morning on Thanksgiving, and I'm out by... the buffet starts at 1, and I'm usually out the door at 1:02.
Well, that's good.
I go home... hit the hot tub, recharge, and then I have like 35 at my house at 2:30.
Oh, wow. And how was the house Thanksgiving?
The house is great. I mean, my wife is one of nine. A lot of people cook. I make a bird and some sides, but everybody brings food. The thing about our family is that the cocktail hour from 2:30, we usually don't sit down for turkey till dark. After dark, 6:30, 6 o'clock.
It's about when
we sit
do
down
it.
For 20 minutes, eat the turkey, get right back up. Everybody's back. I have two fire pits out on the deck. Everyone's out on the deck. So it's more like a mixer, family reunion.
But that's fun.
And that's the
with
best.
With 35, that's the way you have to do it.
We went through about, I counted the empties, about 30 bottles of wine. It's not even a bottle per person when you think about it.
Well, that's true. As long as everybody's, did everybody stay overnight?
Overnight or in the general area.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. Well, I got to say, your name pops up every time we have Thanksgiving, and that is because we use your method of brining the bird. And there has been discussion on this program about the dry brine or the wet brine, and we follow your method at our house, and it frankly has never failed. So before we get into our topic at hand, could you just reprise
that for us? And I'm going to say everybody has ways they make their bird.
Yep.
A lot of people say, oh my God, my bird comes out like dry or weird every year. Some people have a great method. If you have a happy method, stick with it. Mine is online at rickorlando.com. You go to the recipes. It's a brine method, and then it's the cooking technique is the opposite of most people, and that's what makes it great, is we don't start it slow and then try to brown it at the end. You crank the oven up to 475 or 500, put the turkey right in the pan after it's been brined, season it, no stuffing, no vegetables around, just put it in a pan and blast it until it's like nice and golden brown and sizzling. You know it's still dead raw in the middle, but it's not. Then you turn it down to 275, and you let it go between 10 and 15 minutes in a pound, so 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
And what happens, scientifically, the protein molecules are no longer rapidly vibrating. They're going slow. It's like mellow. It's like Pink Floyd, you know? And by the time you slice into that turkey, now what I do, which is really kind of psychotic, is we take the turkey out of the oven and let it rest. But instead of letting it rest on the stove, I have these relatively inexpensive metal fire pits that you can buy that have like a grill grate on them, but the grill grate is on a pivot, so you can kind of put it off the fire.
Yeah.
So I start a hickory fire, get it nice and smoky, and then let the turkey sit on the grate. And the smoke, the breeze kind of whips the smoke, so the turkey's not smoked through, but the exterior has a nice smoky flavor.
Okay, well, we don't go that far with the Rick Orlando method, but we did pretty good. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Now, the task at hand is gift baskets, and I kind of joked at the beginning of the show, I don't think I've ever received one. I never gave one. You have some beauties here. What'd you bring?
Well, let's talk about food gifts in general. I mean, you can make a basket, which is an elaborate thing, but it's fun, and you always want to thematically design a basket. I brought one with a couple of beers and some spice nuts and some spice chilies and stuff. I brought one with spices, and then I also brought a bar basket, which has different items in them. So we can talk about all of those, but most importantly, I think food gifts that have a personal touch are great. They're inexpensive. And with all that's going on and everybody wanting, you know, Amazon Echoes and, you know, charge cards at Best Buy, you get to a certain point where you've done that. Now what? So I've gotten into this a lot, and I make gifts for my family and my friends. You don't have to be a rocket science cook.
Oh, well, wait a minute now. The gift basket from Chef Rick Orlando will be appreciably better and better received than the gift basket from Radio Guy who can barely boil water.
All right, let me give you a couple of leads here.
All right, go ahead.
I have three children, 24, 29, and 30. They all have their own places. So last year we went to Parivar, the fabulous little Indian market over on Central Avenue, and we bought like 15 different spices. We bought the 6-ounce or 8-ounce bags. And then we gathered in an antique store run, cute little bottles and jars that were repurposed and fun, and we made each kid a box of their own spice rack.
Oh, that's good.
And that's a food gift.
Yeah, no, that's
great. I didn't
have
to cook anything, you know? So that's really fun. Here I have a couple of simple ones. One is truffles and gluten-free brownies.
All right, the truffles, I had one. Just stop right there. Mm-hmm. Tell me what the heck it is.
So those are a truffle that I designed years ago, actually for the Culinary Institute of America, when they had the St. Andrew's Kitchen, which was the healthy cooking kitchen. Mm-hmm. I was doing some dinners there. So those are bittersweet chocolate and goat cheese, local goat cheese.
Amazing.
And a little lemon. And lemon is interesting because, you know, chocolate has all these notes, and you read about chocolate tastings. And citrus is always one of the notes in certain, especially New World chocolates. And this is made with Colombian chocolate. But the little lemon and goat cheese really makes the chocolate pop and have a nice long finish on your palate, almost like wine. And to make this is a nice, you can't see it, or maybe you can.
You can if you watch online at WAMC.org.
It's a large, like 40-ounce mason jar. And I made the truffles, refrigerated them, and filled the mason jar with cubes of brownies and truffles. And that's an awesome gift. That recipe is also on my website, but it's really easy. It's 50-50 by weight, chocolate and goat cheese. You whip the goat cheese in your food processor or in your mixer with a little bit of powdered sugar and a juice of a lemon and the zest of a lemon. You add the chocolate, incorporate it, and let it refrigerate. Then you have the fun part of rolling the little balls.
Oh, yeah.
I rolled them in cinnamon after. You can roll them in chili powder or cocoa powder or something like that. My hands will smell like chocolate for days.
Well, there you go. Cool. And, yeah. You know, it was well worth it. And so the recipe is on your website.
Yeah.
We're going to do that this holiday season.
Yeah, I'll send you a bunch of them.
All right, let's take a quick break here. Rick Orlando is our guest. I know we want to get to the phones, but we always have so much fun. And, oh, gosh, I think it's almost time to crack a beer. Let's do that now. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back with Rick Orlando.
Support for WMC comes from Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers and blends, specialty salt box gift sets for holiday giving, rollingrocksalt.com for live events and details. Cooperstown Farmers Market, in its 27th year, bringing farmers and artisans together to provide local goods, open every Saturday year-round, cooperstownfarmersmarket.org. Myron Wine and Spirits, Kingston. Since 1960, a wine and spirit shop with thousands of imported and domestic wines and spirits and staff for questions and advice. Myron Wine and Spirits on Facebook. Field Goods, local produce from the Hudson Valley delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, helping people change the way they eat while supporting small sustainable farms. Field-goods.com. And Big Elm Brewing, tap room open Thursday through Saturdays, noon to 6 p.m. Crafting ales and lagers in Sheffield, Massachusetts since 2012. BigElmBeer.com.
Vox Pop, it's Food Friday. Ray Graff here with the Rick Orlando, Chef Rick Orlando, that is. And we talk about holiday food baskets and holiday cooking. And this cherry soda is pretty good. What is this?
This is a Belgian beer called Kasteel, K-A-S-T-E-E-L, not
with
Kasteel,
a C and an I.
And it's a Belgian pale that's infused with cherries and cherry juice, which is festive for the holiday.
It's festive. I wouldn't want to have more than one. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551, the number. And Martha in Boyceville is first. Hi, Martha. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, Steve. How's everybody?
Martha, you always like being first.
It's true. That is true. But I came late. I didn't realize you were talking about gift baskets, but it's one of my favorite things. And I've been lucky enough to get, I got like a Puerto Rican hot sauce gift basket from Rick last year. I have no idea why.
You know what that is? First of all, ladies and gentlemen, this is the legendary Martha Frankel. You should have her on as a guest.
Oh, my heavens. Why don't you say that? I wouldn't have made you wait so long.
I don't know.
She tried to disguise her accent, but we picked her out.
Oh, that's great.
My stepfather makes Puerto Rican like PK sauce. And he gets really fancy. He packs it in old Yukon Jack bottles and Bailey's bottles and gives me a milk crate of the stuff. So I re-gift it to friends.
Give it to Frankel.
Yeah, of course. Martha likes good hot stuff.
I do.
And so one of my favorite things to do is to do a gift basket that is, I like, my husband is a furniture maker, so he has cutting boards, and I like to put like a cutting board and three or four different hot sauces that either I make or Rick Orlando's father-in-law makes. But that's always so much fun, a little bread from Bread Alone. And, you know, how great is that, a really local gift basket?
I think it's great. As I was saying, you know, it's doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to be, you know, a Michelin star chef to take a few things that you like, a few things that maybe your friends like, and gift it to somebody. It's a nice gift. It's very personal, and I think it goes a long way in the gift world.
Yeah.
I can only use so many more socks or,
right,
you know, handbooks on how to set a table.
I shouldn't wrap up the socks for you because I was going to. I never, ever bake because I have so many friends that do, but I'm going to try those truffles.
Oh, well, they're not baking. That's good. They're just a mixy-mixy.
They're really good, Martha. I gotta stress that.
They are. Okay, all right. Love you guys.
Thanks, Martha.
You.
Hey, have a good holiday season, Martha. Thank you for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. On a Food Friday, you mentioned the seitan earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier on in the day, Ian Pickus said, well, I hope Orlando brings the seitan chicken wings up.
Huh. I wouldn't exactly put them in a gift jar.
He's
but...
a huge fan. So just saying, Santa, next time you're here,
yes.
You bring one for him. He'll probably be very happy. Mike in Saratoga Springs. Mike, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Ray, I hope you're not going to get mad at me. I'm a little off point, but number one, Chef Orlando, you had me way back when you opened New World Cooking. My brother moved to Woodstock, and I had the black and green beans with the mustard Creole.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Oh,
I love your play. But the reason my question is a little off point is that I understand you're getting back into music, and I want to know where I can catch you live. I hope that's not too off the topic.
Thanks. No, that's kind of amusing. I've been around music my whole life, and I was a very serious musician in my 20s until I started having children and had to provide a real living.
The benefits aren't that good.
Yeah. But, we're pretty laid back about it. I'm playing with some friends. I'm playing with a guy named Andy Chernoff, who was the bass player in the original Dictators in New York, and Spike Priggen.
Handsome Dick. Is he coming to sit in?
Yeah. No, they don't get along too well.
Okay. All right, fine.
They both come to the restaurant at different days.
I see.
Spike Priggen, a fella I used to play with years ago in New Haven, and a fella named Doug Weigel on drums. Our commitment is this: one rehearsal, one gig a month.
Wow.
So we rehearsed last night. We're playing tonight at New World Home Cooking on our first Friday.
You're kidding me.
No, we're playing tonight.
How many sets?
We'll probably play 1 hour and a half set of 3-minute long songs.
That's a lot of songs. That's pretty good.
Yeah. We play at Keegan Ailes occasionally. We're not like trying to make it. We're just having fun.
Yeah.
We're just having fun.
Well,
it's
Mike,
good. Playing old Kinks and old garage rock and old rockabilly and just twangy,
Well,
perfect
good.
Music.
I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. There you go. You got a music fan.
There you go.
So what time's the gig start?
We start early, about 8:45.
Yeah. Old now.
I'm heading back to after this. We have our first Friday. Every first Friday in Saugerties, we do what we call a community supper. We do a $20 buffet on a theme.
Yeah.
I just did a bunch of curried goat and roti, and we're doing like a Caribbean theme. We do a different theme every week, every month. And then when everyone's pretty much done eating around 8:30, 8:45, we go and chase them out.
So you're not going to play while they're eating. That's probably
we
a good
start
plan.
Up about 8:30, 8:45, play till 10 or 10:30,
Good for you. That's good. It's good to get the early gigs done. The late gigs, the 2 a.m., not so much anymore.
I don't think there's a crowd for it, especially down where we are. People are done by midnight, and that's cool because, the DWI and cops and late night, it's much nicer this way. And frankly, I got up at 6 this morning. I cooked all morning. I drove here to do the show. I'm going to go back, put out that buffet, wash my hands, change my shirt, and do a gig. So it's a rip.
It's a busy life being
a 16-hour rip.
Celebrity chef Rick Orlando is here. Let's go to Rachel in Leverett, Mass. Rachel, you're on.
Hey, guys. Ray, I'm glad you're feeling a little better.
Getting there.
He's still got a really good baritone going, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's sounding really kind of sexy, Ray, but
okay.
Yeah, there
Barry
you go.
White.
See? No.
All right.
Exactly. Hey, baby. I'm just calling to say that every year, both for fundraisers and actually for friends who know me, I lived in Spain for a long time. And so I love to put together Spanish-focused gift baskets.
Nice.
And, in fact, you can get paella pans and the right kind of rice and the spices, as well as some other things.
Like the good chorizo?
On Amazon.
Yeah.
Exactly. Palacios Chorizos.
Palacios
also
Chorizos.
There's also an online store called La Tienda, which just means the store.
La Tienda's good.
A
and
lot
so,
of
is,
really...
so is De España. De España.
Yes, I've heard that one. Also, I usually do one red, one white. I try to put maybe... a Jerez, a good sherry, maybe a really nice olive oil or vinegar, and vinegar. Jerez also, they do vinegars. You've got local cheeses. You can buy them locally, rather, Spanish cheeses like the Manchego a lot of the goat cheeses also. So those always go over really well because they're foods that people like, but they're not really sure about. And so getting an introduction to them is usually a good way to do that, is with a gift basket.
Yeah, it's very, you know, that's what the show's about. It's very thoughtful to give somebody the gift of food. And again, you're not cooking, you're sourcing. And sourcing is a big part of cooking anyway.
Right.
So I think that's just great. I mean, I just think it's great. And
the other thing that's nice, too, is sometimes they'll come back and they'll say, hey, I've got these mejillones en escabeche, which are mussels in sort of a brine sauce. Mm-hmm. They're like, how do we eat these? They'll say,
toast.
Oh, well, the way we like them, et cetera. But it's exactly. A little bit of cream cheese on a cracker in one of those.
There you go.
Mm. Ooh. So there are lots of ways. It also keeps you connected because people feel it's personal.
And if you make a couple of things on your own to mix in there, maybe some spiced almonds or something, again, people really appreciate the effort. And I think it's fun. It makes the holidays a little more festive. Like, I'll take a Sunday. Probably next Sunday I'll just make a bunch of stuff and have it. I'll spend a few hours, football game on in the background, music on.
Yeah.
And just prep some jars up.
You don't have that many free hours, though, Rick.
Oh, tons of free hours. I mean, there's, you know... Always.
Hey, Rachel, have a great holiday season. Thank you for calling.
Hey, you too, Ray.
Bye.
Take care, Rick. Bye-bye.
All right, Rick, what is this bottle here?
All right.
This bottle has been intriguing me since the beginning of the show.
Okay, so what this is, what we are looking at here, this is for the cocktail fan in your gift list.
Okay.
It's the base for making bitters.
Making your own.
You can buy bitters kits, right? Dutch's Moonshine has a fabulous bitters kit, but there's lots of different bitters kits available out there that have, different spices and gentian and all these different things you can't always find in every spice store. And then this is suspended in Everclear, in pure alcohol.
Okay.
And so when I give you this, you can take this home and you can mix this with cherries or cranberries or orange or cinnamon simple syrup, and you make whatever you like and you make your own bitters. So this has already been done. This takes about a month or two to infuse. So I started these around October. So I actually have a bunch of bottles of this so I can give people their own bitters kit already started in a cute little bottle.
Okay. And so when I think of bitters, I put a dash in a Manhattan or whatever, an old fashioned or whatever. You're not using that much.
Yeah. So that is enough to make two bottles of bitters right there. And people use bitters in a lot of cocktails now. They're all over the place.
But here's the problem.
But see, that base, though, you could make little eyedroppers. You can get a little bit of canned cherries and put them in some. You can take some cranberries and make another one. You can take some orange zest and make another one. You can take bacon and make another one. You could take bacon bitters, sure.
Really?
Of course. You can put some cocoa nibs and make another one. So that 5 ounces of bitters base can make 6 2-ounce bitters for you. You can really turn somebody on to the cocktail world.
But my point is, and I drink a fair amount of cocktails, you use so little of the bitters. Can you tell a difference between your standard bitters that you buy that was in short supply for a while and something that is infused with bacon or cherry or anything? You're only putting a dash or two in any drink.
I think it depends on what you're drinking, but sure.
Really?
Yeah, the little nuances. I mean, it's all about nuance at that point, but that little bit of extra oomph. You go to some of the great cocktail bars now, the Stockade in Kingston, Paul Maloney, legendary cocktail maker. He's got just little jars of all these little tinctures and a drop of this and a drop of that, horseradish bitters, whatever. They can pop a drink in whatever direction you want.
How much is that a psychosomatic, though?
How much of everything is psychosomatic?
Well, I suppose.
I mean, we're having fun right now, right? Because we have headphones on. We have microphones.
Pretending to do radio.
Right? Doing radio. It's great.
800-348-2551 if you want to pretend to do radio. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Chef Rick Orlando is our guest here on a Food Friday. And this jar of nuts.
That is curried cashews.
Oh, mercy. Can I try one?
Yeah, they're for you to eat, bro.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You know, we talked about doing spice jars. And we talked about different ways of making the bar fan. Spice nuts are a great thing to make for the holidays. You can buy bags of nuts that, you know, you go to the co-op and get them relatively inexpensive. And just Google away. I mean, my curry cashew recipe's online.
Delicious. All right, tell us about it. Since we're on the radio, tell us about how you make these.
Those, we get raw cashews.
Yep.
And we roast them.
Right.
And then we take them out. And you can make them with butter, or with margarine or with coconut oil. Coconut oil would be a little too flavorful unless you get the unflavored coconut oil.
Okay.
Toss them with just a little oil. And then those get tossed with a little salt, a little sugar, a little good curry powder and some rosemary. And we put them back in the oven for about 5 minutes and roast them and let them cool.
When you initially roast them, how long do you roast them?
Just until they become golden.
Really?
You take the color out. Yeah, we do it with almonds. In there somewhere are smoked walnuts in one of those bags,
oh,
which
really?
Are really fun. Mm. If you got a little home smoker or a little stovetop smoker, we toss the walnuts with a little bit of oil and salt and sugar and then put them in the smoker and smoke them for 20 minutes and you get smoked walnuts.
And then you have some Chanel No. 5 here.
Well, that's funny that you say that. So what Ray has pulled out of the bag is a gorgeous decorative liquor bottle. If you take the cap off,
all right,
you have a shot glass.
Really?
Look.
Is there booze in this?
That's limoncello.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
You make this?
We made homemade. Yeah.
All right.
It's easy. So, again, if you go to a good antique center, you will find lots of old, fun bottles that you can repurpose to make gifts out of. You're giving it to me first?
You, oh, yeah. You go ahead, because I'm sick.
The limoncello. Simple. Lemon, sugar, vodka.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you can make it with a lot of the stuff. If you're making infused, you can start with Everclear and then dilute it with water or just do it with vodka. It goes slower with vodka. It doesn't infuse as quickly, but I started those in the summer. I made a bunch of jars, but it's delicious limoncello.
It's very good.
But it's a fun bottle, and the story behind the bottle and all that stuff. It's about gift giving, using your imagination. There's some weird stuff there. There's some Thai moonshine, which...
which I'm not going to drink,
right.
But tell me about it.
That's actually, somebody made me a bottle of
that.
Moonshine, and we put some Thai chilies and garlic in it and let it just kind of infuse for a while. It's pretty weird, but, you know, I put a little bit, made kind of a mock margarita with it. Are you trying to get me to smell it or open
well,
it?
Well, I don't know. I can't touch that.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of spicy, but it's fun, and it's in an old olive oil bottle.
So you're using Everclear and then or using vodka in that case?
This one we started with Everclear about 50% and then we thinned it with water. So if you add 50-50 with Everclear and water, you end up with vodka basically. You end up with that that proof, about 80 proof.
Give me a drink you could make with that.
With this here? Oh,
yeah.
I do it with fresh lime and some cilantro, maybe some lemongrass on the rocks. You make like a Thai tini with it. It's good, yeah.
You know, I follow you on Twitter, and you're a great follow on Twitter. Every now and then you'll throw out some good drink recipes. You come up with these yourself?
Well, I'm not alone. I mean, I come up with my own, for sure. I mean, we have great bar people, you know, at the Bistro, Sarah Jane McLaughlin and Scott and Nick.
Yeah.
They're brilliant. And in Saugerties, you know, we've got Brittany and Heather Short there. So we all do. We all brainstorm. But, yeah, I'm a chef. I see ingredients, and I think of what can I do with those ingredients? And then sometimes I'm thirsty.
And then sometimes it doesn't work.
And one of the secrets of being a really good cook is accepting that it doesn't work and don't try to convince people it's good. Sometimes you screw up. That's what you're going to do. A lot of people say, well, you know, you can taste the subtle nuances of the burnt pan. I'm like, you know, we don't want to taste the burnt pan. So, you know, failure is one of the greatest teachers.
Mm.
And when you cook, you will fail. I fail. Everybody fails. Acknowledging it, dealing with it, and dumping it in the garbage, that's success.
That's a very good point, although I think it's probably tough. I think the younger professional has a tougher time admitting it ain't working.
People do try to sell me on their dish in the restaurant a lot, and I'll take it and taste it and politely make suggestions, and if we can't get it to where we want, then it doesn't go on the menu. You know, yeah, you have to be able to be honest with yourself, but that is the greatest learning experience is mistakes.
Yeah.
You don't learn from success.
I've learned
a lot.
I can
do everything great. You know, it's like, no, you learn when you make mistakes, what not to do, and you get better at it, you know?
Chef Rick Orlando is our guest. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday, and we talk gift baskets and holiday dining and anything you want. If you have a question for celebrity chef Rick Orlando, now's the time. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WMT comes from Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at their recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals, GloriosaCO.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. The Egremont Barn, presenting guitarist Freddie Chahadi on Friday, December 1st, and Saturday, Shlomo Franklin. Tickets and information available at theegremontbarn.com. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com.
You know, one of the problems with having this cold is I've had a tough time tasting or smelling anything. What I just tried in the break here on a Food Friday at 800-348-2551, what I just tried, Rick, was very flavorful and cut right through my waning illness. What did I have?
Assertiveness training in the kitchen.
Very good. What was that?
So that's a little gift I make for people. So in the red jar is something called tomato jam. Mm. And near the end of the season, there are lots of overripe tomatoes that are available relatively cheaply. Mm-hmm. So we take the skins off and cook them down with a little bit of maple syrup, a little bit of vinegar, some spices, until it's bubbly and thick like a jam. We call that tomato jam. We serve that in the restaurants, and we make a lot of it. And that's a fun little gift. Again, these are things you're thinking about early in the season. You might not be able to do it now. Maybe you can make a different jam, like a fig jam or something.
Yeah.
But the white stuff is
awesome.
Boursin, which is French garlic cream cheese. And we take regular cream cheese, sometimes a little goat cheese, put it in a food processor with garlic and herbs, and then we add a little bit of sunflower oil to it in a thin stream to kind of soften it. But then when you refrigerate it, it tightens up a bit. But it's one of the great little spreads. We get a nice pack of gluten-free rice crackers.
There you go.
Some boursin and a jar of tomato jam, and you've got a little happy breakfast party.
Oh, that's really
actually
delicious.
It wouldn't be bad with some caviar, too.
Uh-huh. You didn't bring that, though, right?
I was going to, but yeah.
I'm not that big on the...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a holiday tradition
really?
In our house. We have, my wife likes, before anybody shows up, bottle of champagne, caviar, salmon roe.
And then lock the door and leave them outside.
Yeah, we devour it. And then the guests come and we say, oh, yeah, here's shrimp cocktail for you.
Well, nothing wrong with that. No. All right, this one came in via email, and it's from Susan. We own a business, and we'd like to give gift baskets to customers. Most of these baskets go to offices where the food is shared, so the gift should be ready to eat, and alcohol is a no-no, too. Last year, I made baskets with coffee, tea, cookies, looking for some different ideas. Well, all right, how about a different idea for Susan?
Well, coffee, tea, cookies is a theme. Cookies, biscotti, the truffles are a really good idea.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the woman said with the Spanish thing where you do cheeses, like a theme of cheeses.
Yeah.
Maybe some cheeses and some dried cured sausages and some breads were always fun. I mean, you know, remember those little stores that were in the mall? They would sell those little kits.
Hickory Farm.
Is that what it was?
Hickory Farm? Oh, you could still get those.
Well, you can improve upon that concept, really, you know, by going to maybe Chester's or the Smokehouse of the Catskill and getting some good stuff. And making a little basket for them. I think that's a good one. I think also savory stuff. One of the things, if you buy little cellophane bags, we make a lot of our spice mixes, and everybody has spices at home. You have your little Cajun and whatever.
Yeah.
I make spice popcorns for people, which are really fun.
Oh, that's great. Do you make bags. Cajun?
That's my cage, and that's my jerk in there. Yep, those are our own
jerk
signature.
Popcorn?
Jerk popcorn.
Do you really?
Awesome.
No way.
Awesome. Truffle Parmesan popcorn, Cajun popcorn, Caribbean popcorn. Thai popcorn by putting some salt, sugar, powdered lemongrass, and some cayenne on it, you know. But you could just make your buy a big bag of plain popcorn or brew, you know, make your own. But the little cellophane bags are cute. You get little colored, different colored ones and tie them with a little bread tie.
Yeah.
But spiced popcorns and pretzels and stuff like that are fun because you can season them yourself.
And then, you know, if you give them to a business, they'll mess up the office and it'll
be... people sit and crunch and it's
exactly.
Like the pigeons will come and clean it up.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Rick Orlando is our guest here. And let's go to Pauline in Washington, Massachusetts. Pauline, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thanks.
Hi, Pauline.
I just wanted to... Hi. I have to say, Ray, if you when you started the show, I said, oh, my God, that's going to be such a boring show. Well, you have me hooked.
Oh, good.
So
that's one.
I did want to add that what I love to do is a lot of people who live out of state. We live in the Berkshires. There's a lot of local products, and I tend to make gift baskets with all the things made in the Berkshires out of beer or, you know, honey or jams or salad dressings and cookies made by local bakers. And people love that when they live out of state. They just think it's great that the Berkshires have such wonderful local products.
I think you're absolutely on the money. I kind of do the same thing. Like I said, I make a lot of my own stuff, but I'll also buy artisanal products locally. I live in the Hudson Valley. I'm in Albany. Anywhere I go, I mean, between the co-op and then down in Woodstock and Rhinebeck and Hudson, you can find so many great things. But, you know, what I found, and I really have to say, you know, I've been raising kids and have lots of employees. It really gives you the Christmas spirit when you go out into one of the villages and spend your money on locally made products to give to people. Yeah. Smaller, less expensive, but more thoughtful gifts. It goes a long way. I mean, every year I used to do the mall thing and get running around. And you know, now it's like I'll spend a day in Hudson. I'll go and have lunch and then I'll buy some shopping. I'll go to Rhinebeck. I'll go to Woodstock. I'll go down Lark Street. I always go to Alyssa Halloran's and make sure I hit her place. You know, I try to and get some locally made jewelry and stuff. I just think it makes the holidays different.
And you're spreading the good cheer among the merchants.
That's
right. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I love is I'm supporting our local community and the local farms. I mean, how many farms do we have, too, that make local cheeses? It's just, it's awesome.
Good. Well, good job.
Hey, Pauline,
thank you so much.
Have a great holiday season.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you. Local beers alone.
Yeah, local beers alone, local wine, local spirits.
Yeah.
Spirits are, you know, come on.
In the Berkshires, like the Berkshire Mountain Distillery? Oh,
yeah,
boy.
You know, heart of the Hudson, you know, you get the whiskeys. And I mean, there's Albany, you've got the Albany Distillery. There's so much in that world. Say what you will about Andrew Cuomo. I'm not going to give an opinion, but he's been great for agriculture and food in New York.
And the farm distillery.
Absolutely.
Very nice.
Well, that whole thing goes together because of the way things are regulated differently. Like spirits are now an agriculture product, so it's been great for the whole state.
Buddy of mine across the street brought some New York bourbon.
Yeah.
From a little north of Albany.
What else are you going to do with rotten corn and rotten potatoes?
It's pretty good.
You're going to make booze out of them now.
You
used to give them to pigs.
I think it was only 3 months old.
Yeah.
By the time that's a 3-year-old, it's going to be delicious.
Yeah, I think it's great.
This one's from Katie, who says, where can I find that scrumptious goat cheese chocolate truffle recipe you mentioned earlier in the show? Thanks for such a lovely Food Friday. And that's from Katie Rose in Lanesboro, Massachusetts.
Hi, Katie. Okay, if you go to rickorlando.com and click on recipes, there's a blog with a lot of recipes. Just search for it in the search box. If it's not there, because I'm pretty sure it is tonight when I go home after I play my gig, I'm going to make sure that it's there. Okay,
so it may
or
not
just
be
send,
there.
Or just, I know it's there, but there's hundreds of recipes, and they're all going to disappear soon.
Why?
I'm working on a book right now with Peter Barrett, who's a good friend from Woodstock, who he just did Zach Palacio's cookbook, and now he's working on my book together. We're co-writing it, and we have a great agent. And when the book is about to come out, I have to cull the recipes online down so that you are motivated to break out for $35.
Oh, my gosh. So really, you're going to pull all that? So basically, find and save all the recipes you can right now.
There will be recipes for sure, but there won't be 300 of them.
All right, if Katie Rose is looking for this one, what is the actual name of
it? It'll probably be called Bittersweet Chocolate and Goat Cheese Truffles.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Chef Rick Orlando, our guest. Deb in Albany. Deb, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for doing this show. I just love Rick Orlando's food, and I love your Purple Haze wings and so many other things.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to get your advice on something, because I loved what you said about being willing to ditch failures. I'm a home cook, but I like to experiment a lot. And I tried to gin up a recipe for green beans and spetzel for Thanksgiving for a brother-in-law, and found this beer sauce that sounded really good, and was trying to play around with that from something I saw online. And it just ended up nasty. And every single member of my family, I didn't put it on the beans. And I kept trying to tell them it had to be really, you know, not that bad. And they kept sampling it and making faces. I added some, it was beer and sugar and some other things. And I added some butter to it to try to mellow it. And it held together. It looked good, but it had this really nasty aftertaste. And I've not cooked with beer. I've done a lot with wine. So I just wondered, and I finally did throw the whole thing out, which was, I guess, a good thing, although it pained me. And yeah. I just wondered if you could give me some thoughts on why it might have ended up so bad.
Well, you know, I don't know exactly what was in the whole recipe, but cooking with beer in general is complicated because beer, there are lots of different types of beers, just like wine. But if you reduce a red wine as light as a Chianti or as heavy as a big cab, you're still going to get a relatively similar flavor, a concentration. Mm-hmm. You're adding beer. When you add beer, when you add wine to a recipe, you're adding it for acidity, basically, for brightness, to cut the fatness of the meat part of the sauce. Because usually wine sauces are based on meat or mushrooms, mm-hmm. and you're creating acid. Beer, on the other hand, if you reduce it too much, you're intensifying the hops and the bitterness of the beer. Right, you're concentrating that bitterness. So we have many beer sauces we make. As a matter of fact, I made a carbonade today, which is a Flemish beef beer
I'm
stew.
I'm glad you brought that up. We'll talk about that in a minute.
But I don't cook the beer for hours and hours. The beer goes in kind of almost near the not. I put a little in the beginning and a little bit near the end, but I don't reduce it down like I'm doing a wine sauce.
But you're using a very dark beer for that, right? A sweet beer?
Well, I actually use a Belgian double.
Yeah.
And I use brown sugar and cider vinegar.
You have to.
Yeah, sugar and vinegar and a little mustard to get that sweet and sour thing,
yeah.
which balances it. But what kind of beer do you use in your sauce? The therapist wants to know.
Well, okay, that may have been my mistake.
Jenny Cream.
I wasn't going to sacrifice exactly very close. I used two random cans of Bud because we had all this really good craft beer, and I didn't want to incur the wrath of the entire house by breaking into their really cherished beer. So I thought, oh, it's just a sauce. I'll use up those. And it wasn't bad. I did check the beer first. It hadn't gone skunky or anything, but it was not a good beer.
And see, really lightweight beers like Bud and stuff are great for steaming mussels and
or
steaming clams or cooking hot dogs because mm-hmm. they're light enough and they add just that little bit of barley and ricey flavor.
Yeah.
An IPA is challenging to cook with. Now, we make a few dishes with IPAs.
Too much hops?
Too much hops. If you cook them too long, it just gets bitter, bitter, bitter. You know, you're intensifying it. So it's all about balance. And again, you know, sometimes sauces just aren't what they are. Did you follow the recipe or do you just play around?
I started by following the recipe.
Good.
And then when it kept having this nasty aftertaste. Really,
so what was a nasty aftertaste? We're really getting to some deep stuff. Was it like
a
beer?
It was like a real bitter kick, like a really, you know, you would have thought that I'd used a really dark beer. And so that's why I added some butter to try to mellow it a little bit. And it actually helped, except that the kick, it was still there at the end.
Yeah.
Everybody would taste it and say, and then they'd go, ugh.
Yeah, on green beans and spetzels. It sounds wrong in a lot of ways.
Too many hops, it sounds like. If it,
or over-reduced, overcooked. Yeah.
Probably over-reduced. And anyway, the beans and spetzel turned out great since I tossed the sauce. I threw on parsley and butter, and they were fine. But
parsley and butter makes everything fine.
Yeah.
Ray,
well, thanks, Deb. We appreciate the call very much. Have a great holiday season. 800-348-2551. All right, take me back to the point about Flamand, because I was thinking that before you said it. Back in the very early days of food TV, one of the chefs, I have no idea who it is now, had a recipe for Carbonade Flamand or Carbonade Flamand.
Probably Jeff Smith, the Frugal Gourmet.
He was good with that stuff. Don't remember what it was, but I tried making it. And one of the things was you had to get basically a sweet, dark beer to make the thing work. And it's a great recipe. And do you have that on your website?
No, but I could put one up.
Is that one that you serve occasionally?
Yeah, we make it once in a while. We actually, getting cold out, we needed a weekend special. We had a bunch of short rib and chuck downstairs in the cooler. And I said, you know what? Let's throw some carrots and leeks and onions in a pan with the beef and brown it, add some beef stock and some beer. And then as it's cooking for a while, we add a little tarragon and bay leaf. And then I whisk in a mix of brown sugar, mustard, and cider vinegar, just enough to get that little sweet and sourness to the sauce. We're going to serve it with buttered noodles and some roasted carrots.
But again, like our last caller, I believe that if you use the wrong beer, that dish just is destroyed.
Don't use an IPA.
Yeah.
Don't use a bitter beer. I mean, you're not looking for a major hop. And, you know, the Belgians are beautiful with their beer because now, because of the IPA craze, a lot of the Belgian breweries are trying to make hoppier beers. But in general, Belgian beers are not hoppy at all. And you could drink them. One of the reasons why I like to go out to Cooperstown to hang out at Omegang is because you can drink beer all day and not feel like you're turning inside out with a vacuum, you know, sucking your brains out. It keeps you refreshed.
And I think English beer too, a lot of malts.
It's funny you say that. We had a local beer last night after band practice, and it was an English style ale, golden ale. And we said, wow, this is really good.
Yeah.
You know? And listen, there are prototypes, right? We talk about this with cheeses. I love local cheeses. The French invented cheeses that are great. You want to taste what most people are trying to achieve locally. You taste a good quality French cheese. That's the prototype. That's the bar, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you can get close to that bar, you're a successful small craft. Same thing with beer. Same thing with wine. You know, and with beer, you know, it's like Samuel Smith's Nut Brown and Pale Ale are still two of the most delicious beers on the planet.
However, it's tough to get a good bottle because it's a clear bottle coming across the Atlantic, and the light destroys the stuff, especially in a clear bottle.
Fortunately, they're in cases most of the time.
Now, if you can get it in a, you know, in a keg, then you're really set.
Yeah, but those English beers are great. I mean, they're really delicious, you know.
Is there anything you can actually cook with a hoppy IPA?
Sure, I do.
What kind of a recipe would you use?
Well, we have a great dish. We do mussels with a really heavy-duty IPA, doubles and everything, where we do we take mussel stock and put lemongrass in it and tarragon in it, which are both perfumey as can be, make a nice, rich mussel stock, and then we put the mussels in the pan with a little bit of red onion, hit them with the really bitter beer and this really perfumed tarragon lemongrass broth and a big hunk of butter, and it's delicious because you get just enough bitter, but you get this perfume. Lemongrass works great, tarragon works great, basil works great. A lot of the really flowery herbs and spices work really great with
an IPA. But doesn't? What's the number one no-no when you're cooking with a beer?
Well, don't do like a long cooked meat dish with IPA.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure people have done it, but I'd rather use a stout or a porter. You know, something like that, because then it's not as hoppy and you bring out the malty flavors, which you're looking for.
As I recall, the Flamande was cooked for quite a long time.
Yeah,
it's not the best cut of meat. You just sort of use whatever.
The best dishes are from the worst meat, right?
Right.
You just kind of like let them go and get that flavor.
But it was a dark beer, and it was sweet, and it
right, a Belgian dark. Like, you wouldn't want to put a double in, you know, a double IPA in there or something heavy duty.
Right.
You want to go kind of fruity and light.
Well, in the last minute or so, we have Rick Orlando. Number one, what's on the set list for tonight?
Oh, my God. We just learned the original version of Train Kept a Rollin' from the 50s, which is kind of fun.
Oh, great. Not via the Yardbirds in the 60s?
No, before that, the rockabilly version.
Beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else did we learn last night? Pablo Picasso by the Modern Lovers, Jonathan Richman, the Modern Lovers, which got one of the great lines. Pablo Picasso was never called.
Yeah, you know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have
one of the great rhymes of all time is the girls would turn the color of an avocado when he would drive down the street in his Eldorado. Come on.
Do you have a cheat sheet for these, for the lyrics or for the changes?
Do I have what?
A cheat sheet when you do a concert?
Nah, we learn them.
Really?
Yeah, most of the songs, like we kind of sit around and you know, Spike Priggen and Doug Weigel in the band are both record dealers.
Yeah.
Andy is a total music geek, and I'm a music geek. So we find songs we know. We just learned Can't Seem to Make You Mine by The Seeds.
Oh.
Goo Goo Muck.
Now, dude, anybody in the audience even remember this stuff?
Nobody knows what we play. Yeah. We play a few. So, you know, we'll play Folsom Prison Blues, play some old Kinks. But for the most part, we're just self-indulgent old guys.
And really, they know who you are. They'll have to clap anyway. They'll get a rotten dish,
and
right?
My Strat sounds great. That's all that counts.
Rick Orlando, thank you for being here. What's the website again, man?
RickOrlando.com. No K. Just RICORLANDO. It has all the links to the restaurants, to catering, to recipes, and all my other weirdness.
Have a great holiday season.
Thank you.
And support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, now booking holiday parties at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout Western Massachusetts. Open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends. Specialty salt box gift sets. Try saying that a few times. Specialty salt box gift sets for holiday gifting. RollingRockSalt.com for live events and details. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring over 80 local farms and food vendors every Saturday, 9 to 2, in downtown Troy's atrium, now featuring winter holiday items and vendors, troymarket.org. Thanks again to Rick Orlando for being with us. Thank you for listening and for calling. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Colleen O'Connell took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Hope you have a great weekend. On Monday, Alan will be back in the big chair for a Medical Monday. Right now, stand by for news.